Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Well, the Attorney General is investigating the FBI, which I think is delicious. This is along with the Inspector General of the Justice Department also looking into the FBI and their conduct with regards to the Russia probe. This says Congressman Devin Nunes recommends 8 people for criminal prosecution. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. Happy Tuesday. 855-839-1210. And on Twitter at Rich Zeoli, 855-839-1210, 1210wphg.com is our website. So yes, today the Attorney General went before the Congress today, William Barr, and he said that he is, quote, reviewing the conduct of the FBI's Russia probe during the summer of 2016, and that the Department of Justice Inspector General will release a report on the FBI's use of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act process and other matters in the Russia case in May or June. That's good. Now, obviously, what everybody is waiting for is the Mueller report, but yeah, I'm very interested in this investigation. I really am. I'm very interested in all of the civil liberties that were abused by the FBI in this Russia probe. I'm really excited this is happening. He said, quote, I'm reviewing the conduct of the investigation, trying to get my arms around all aspects of the counterintelligence investigation that was conducted during the summer of 2016. Barr made the comment during an exchange with Representative Robert Aderholt from Alabama, ranking member on the panel, who noted that Devin Nunes of California had referred 8 people to the FBI for investigation regarding alleged misconduct during the Russia investigation, including the leak of classified material and alleged conspiracies to lie to Congress and the FISA court in order to spy on then-candidate Trump and other persons. Some serious stuff here. I mean, this is some serious stuff when you've got government officials lying before a FISA judge and Congress, of course, too. The remarks came as the Attorney General faced a barrage of tough questions from the Democratic-controlled House panel Tuesday morning regarding Mueller's report, telling lawmakers he would release a redacted version of the original document within a week. You know what's amazing? There doesn't seem to be any outrage over the fact that there were people who lied to the FISA court, lied to Congress, all to spy on a presidential campaign. Like, outside of people on our side, nobody cares about that. You notice that? There's crickets. Crickets. You had the government of the United States of America, the law enforcement division of government, lying and perpetrating this gigantic police state action to infiltrate a presidential campaign. And the average response from people is, meh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Barr's opening statement before the House Appropriations Subcommittee, which oversees funding for the Commerce and Justice Departments and science agencies, focused on the 2020 budget request for his department. Lawmakers on the Democratic-controlled committee pressed him on the Mueller report. Subcommittee Chairman Representative Jose Serrano of New York, in his opening statement, said the panel could not hold this hearing without mentioning the elephant in the room, the Mueller report. He referred to a New York Times report from last week that said the special counsel's office had already created summary documents of the report that the congressman said were ignored in our letter. He said that per the reporting, some investigators on the team felt that your summary, Attorney General Barr, understates the level of malfeasance by the president and several of his campaign and White House advisors. There are so many unanswered questions. Now, Barr has defended the handling of the document, and he says it will all be released last week. He's pointed out the areas which will be redacted, mostly to protect innocent people's privacy. This is what the Attorney General said today. Cut one.
This process is going along very well. And my original timetable of being able to release this by mid-April stands. And so I think that from my standpoint, within a week, I will be in a position to release the report to the public, and then I will engage with the chairman of both judiciary committees about that report and about any further requests that they have.
Then, of course, the question of what's going to be redacted. And I'm telling you, if there's even a single word redacted, it won't be enough for the Democrats. It won't be even close to being enough. They'll scream over what that word is. What's the word? Is it kafif? What's the word? Cut two.
Since my confirmation, I do think it's important that the public have an opportunity to learn the results of the special counsel's work. And I said then that I would work diligently to make as much information public as I could and available to Congress as I could. You will recognize that I'm operating under a regulation that was put together during the Clinton administration and does not provide for the publication of the report. But I am relying on my own discretion to make as much public as I can. Now, in my letter of the March 29th, I identified four areas that I feel should be redacted, and I think most people would agree. The first is grand jury information, 6E material. The second is information that the ICE, the intelligence community, believes would reveal intelligence sources and methods. The third are information in the report that could interfere with ongoing prosecutions. You will recall that the special counsel did spin off a number of cases that are still being pursued, and we want to make sure that none of the information in the report would impinge upon either the ability of the prosecutors to prosecute the cases or the fairness to the defendants. And finally, we intend to redact information that implicates the privacy or reputational interests of peripheral players where there is a decision not to charge them.
Now, all that makes tremendous sense, including the fact that there are still prosecutions that may take place, which if you are a Democrat, you're going to go, yeah, we want those prosecutions to occur, right? I mean, really, if you're an American, you want the prosecutions to occur, but it's the Democrats who are going to scream about the redaction, so that's why I'm saying that. If there are prosecutions that are happening, you don't want to blow it for the prosecution. And obviously, there are people that have a right of a presumption of innocence, so you don't want to smear them with guilt before they're even indicted. Everything the Attorney General says here is reasonable, and these are regulations that he has to follow, and it won't be enough. They'll scream. They'll scream. Now, Gerald Nadler, who is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, when the Star report was published about Bill Clinton, he was on TV saying the entire thing should not be put out there. There should be redactions. People don't need to see it. Now, of course, it's the opposite. You can't redact anything, and everything has to be put out there for everyone to see. These are legitimate reasons for redactions. Obviously, for example, you know, if I'm in the Mueller report and I've done nothing wrong, do I deserve to be redacted? I mean, that's the question, right? I'm not in the Mueller report, but you know what I mean. And that is a question regarding there's a criminal process, there's a defense process, there's also an ongoing. This was a counterintelligence investigation, so there are things in there that may have national security implications as well. Doesn't matter. One word. If there's one word in there redacted, it will be an outrage and a cover-up. Then the Attorney General was asked the question before the committee today by Congresswoman Nita Lowey of New York, who asked if the White House has seen the Mueller report.
Did the White House see the report before you released your summarizing letter? Has the White House seen it since then? Have they been briefed on the contents beyond what was in your summarizing letter to the Judiciary Committee?
I've said what I'm going to say about the report today. I've issued three letters about it, and I was willing to discuss the historic information of how the report came to me and my decision on Sunday. But I've already laid out the process that is going forward to release these reports, hopefully within a week. And I'm not going to say anything more about it until the report is out and everyone has a chance to look at it.
Now, the fact that the Attorney General is also saying that he wants an investigation into the FBI's conduct and to how they handle this investigation is going to be ignored. It's going to be completely ignored by the media. But this really is, I think, at the epicenter of getting to the bottom of what happened here. And whether or not we are going to have a police state in this country. And by a police state, I mean government's law enforcement division engaging in politics. Like, look at the government in terms of departments, really, because that's what government really is, a bunch of various departments. Your local level, you got the sanitation department, you got the, you know, whatever it is, right? The water department, you got the police department, you got all the... On the federal level, it's not much different. When the federal government's law enforcement department, you know, its police department, is using its powers politically, either to intimidate, to spy on, to try to manipulate an election, and law enforcement can also include intelligence, by the way, then that's what a police state is. It's not cops on horseback. It's not, crowd control methods that are controversial. It's not when a police officer shoots an armed man. No. Those things are tactical decisions that might be right, might be wrong. But a police state is when the government uses its power to take away the freedom of the people to choose their leaders, which is what happens in totalitarian countries. You know, the Stasi, the SS, whatever the secret police, whatever it is. And they're federal with lots and lots of power. They're accountable to nobody, and they make sure that the party in power wins. They make sure that the rebels are dealt with accordingly. Look at them as the stormtroopers in Star Wars, if you will. The Attorney General needs to get to the bottom of this because they can't hide like rats on a ship. And we got to understand the extent of what powers were abused, what civil liberties were abused, who they lied to, FISA court judges, Congress. What was the extent of this? How far did it go? How high did it go? Did it go all the way to the Oval Office under President Barack Obama? Did he sign off on this? Did somebody in the orbit of the president sign off on this? Because, you know, if you don't stop this now, then in the future, you'll never have a free election again because they'll figure out not only how to do it, but they'll figure out how to hide better. Take a listen.
The Office of the Inspector General has a pending investigation of the FISA process in the Russian investigation. And I expect that will be complete probably in May or June, I am told. So hopefully we'll have some answers from Inspector General Horowitz on the issue of the FISA warrants. More generally, I am reviewing the conduct of the investigation and trying to get my arms around all the aspects of the counterintelligence investigation that was conducted during the summer of 2016.
And I hope we get some real answers on that. But you notice how nobody cares. We care, but not a lot of other people care. That really should be a major, major story right there. And, you know, the fact that Devin Nunes has referred 8 people for investigation of the FBI should be a major story right there. But you know what I've realized? A lot of people are completely okay with a police state as long as the police state goes after the person they want them to go after. You know, if the police state's going after Trump and trying to stop him, they're good with it. The problem, though, is at some point they come after your guy, too. That's always how it works. It is. It's how it works. It's just how that's why you got to nip it in the bud. But it may be too late. I don't know the extent of it. Nobody does. And it's not a conspiracy sort of a thing when you know the Attorney General of the United States is saying the Inspector General is looking into this. And we've got some real questions here. Who lied? What was the extent of the lying? FISA judges? Congress people, and how high did it all go in terms of the lies and the cover-ups and then the fake investigations? And was this entire thing nothing more than a ruse just simply to infiltrate a presidential campaign? Like, in other words, they might have known there was Russian attempts to infiltrate the election, which is not any new news, but was that just a basis and excuse to infiltrate a presidential campaign? He also reminded everybody that this was a policy put in place by the Obama administration, and it was also the result of something called the Flores Consent Decree after the ACLU sued because kids were being kept with pedophiles and people who were pretending to be their parents and that sort of thing. So that's what started all this. The media has been using pictures of kids in cages under Obama's administration, and they've been using this a lot. You know, shocking, right? Actually, the president today tweeted out a clip from Greg Gutfeld of Fox News. Greg Gutfeld, who was on The Five yesterday, who made a point of saying this. And it also works with the visual, obviously, but worth taking a look at. Take a listen. I sent you that earlier. That's okay. We'll come back to it. Cut number 13. Let's go to that one of the president.
We're not looking to do that. When you don't do it, it brings a lot more people to the border. We are not looking to do it. But President Obama had the law. We changed the law. And I think the press should accurately report it, but of course they won't. I'm the one that stopped it. President Obama had child separation. Now, I'll tell you something. Once you don't have it, that's why you see many more people coming. They're coming like it's a picnic, because let's go to Disneyland. President Obama separated children. They had child separation. I was the one that changed it. Okay, thank you very much.
It's true. He did change it. And of course, it was ignored when the Obama administration did it. But it was a fairly common practice to the point of them hiring more people to help with it. But again, the narrative of Obama putting people in cages just didn't really work. So now it works now. This is what Greg Gutfeld had said on Fox News. Take a listen.
Images of immigrant children sleeping in cages. Journalists, politicians, Obama flags, they all blame Trump. Turns out the photos are 4 years old when Obama was in charge. Whoops.
Guy, a large group of reporters was allowed to come into this facility in Nogales.
Since October, more than 52,000 kids have been caught crossing into this country. The detention centers are overwhelmed by the surge.
It's a cross between a refugee camp and a juvenile detention facility.
Kids in chain link holding areas using foil blankets.
They're given mattresses and a thermal blanket.
There's about 140 coming in every day.
It has no window to the outside. There's no bed. There might be a toilet, but it's in a public area.
Yeah, and so this all started because of the Flores consent decree. It was a settlement dealing with kids and detention and how they're supposed to be held when they're detained and that sort of thing. You notice, though, in all those news stories from 2014, you didn't hear Obama, 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 Obama putting people in cages. You just didn't hear that. It was in 1997, the U.S. government reached an agreement known as the Flores Settlement Agreement, which arose out of the Flores v. Reno, a 1987 California case. The class action lawsuit ended in a stipulated settlement outlining the standards for the detention and release of unoccupied minors taken into the custody of the Immigration and Naturalization Service, which is now, of course, obviously handled by the Department of Homeland Security. The Flores settlement requires that minors in custody must be housed in facilities that meet certain standards, including state standards for housing and care of dependent children. The settlement also establishes state licensing authority over detention facilities and defines a license program as any program, agency, or organization that is licensed by an appropriate state agency to work with the kids. Under the agreement, the immigration people are required to place minors in the least restrictive setting appropriate to the child's age and special needs. And they have to provide notice of their rights and everything else. It also mandates that immigration operates with a policy favoring release to a parent, legal guardian, adult relative, or licensed program. So detained children may seek a review with any judge to challenge their placement determination or noncompliance of the facility with standards listed. The government has to maintain records of the minors. And the Flores settlement also laid out minimum standards for licensed programs and facilities and that sort of thing as well. And obviously it gave extra special provisions for dealing with kids in terms of medicine and vaccines and training and education and that sort of thing. Notably, in times of emergency or an influx of immigrants, the government has some leeway in the amount of time a child may be detained. The expanded definition of influx as 130 or more minors could be applied to large arrivals of unaccompanied minors and may impact the standards and oversight, because many of the current detention facilities do not comply with the standards in the Flores settlement. The government must release children within 20 days. Now, think about that in the sense of this has been a longstanding policy. There's a surge of people coming into the country. Then the Trump administration says, well, zero tolerance. We're going to actually arrest people who are coming into the country. And then the kids are there, so the kids have to be held in accordance with the Flores settlement, which then leads them to be placed in a separate facility than the parents, hence the family separation. Now, that was ended by an executive order from the Trump administration. And then yesterday, after Secretary Nielsen was fired over the weekend, or resigned over the weekend, everybody came out and said, well, now he's going to reinstate it. And the reason why he let her go is because she was the one person standing in his way of reinstating family separation. which is not true, actually. I mean, his daughter, Ivanka Trump, was out there tweeting against family separation during the entire thing when it was happening. And after it happened, I think it was either Melania or Ivanka, or somebody tweeted about it and said, you know, this shouldn't have happened. And so they dealt with it. But that was the thing, right? That was the narrative, which was that, well, you know, Nielsen is the only one keeping these kids from being put back in cages. And then the president said today, well, we're not going to do it again, but it works. Because if people come to the country and know that they're going to be separated from their kids, it might be a high bar for them to not try to come here. But there's also another aspect of that, which is that a lot of people purposely use kids, and this is what led to the Flores consent decree in the first place, use kids as the mule, the beard, whatever you want to call it, to get in. So they'll purposely bring kids, innocent kids. I'm not saying the kids are part of it necessarily, but, you know, they'll go to villages and that sort of thing and say, you know, give us kids, we'll bring them to America for you. You know, and then once they get there, they'll send them to an uncle or something. But this way you're able to get drug dealers or other criminals to be able to cross the border and act like the kid's parents or act like the kid's uncle. And that process makes it easier. So if you know that they're going to be separated and the adults are actually going to be prosecuted, not just, oh, you have a kid, keep going, then it's also a deterrent against that, whether it's human trafficking or drugs or whatever the issue is. But regardless, it's not going to keep happening. So the much ado about nothing standard goes back, and then people are going to be upset that the president's not reinstating the policy. So either way, it's a situation where you just simply can't win. But, you know, that's the problem with this whole immigration argument right now, is that we are seeing more and more stories of such an absolute crisis at the border, and yet every time there's a solution, we're told that the solution is also horrible. Because the people mostly reporting on this believe that everybody should just be allowed in. And that's really the reality of it. You know, they believe everybody should be allowed in. Former Justice Department spokesman Matt Miller was on MSNBC's Deadline yesterday, and he's talking now about Kirstjen Nielsen and the department and the shame. And think about, as he's saying all this, he's a former, you know, Homeland Security official here, former Justice Department official. What do you think he's really saying? Cut eight.
I'm really just filled with shame as an American, the same sense of shame I felt during the family separation event last year. You know, it is a stain certainly on the administration. It's a stain on all the people who carried out that policy, but it is a stain on our entire country. And it is a stain that's not over. It's not over just because the family separation policy ended last year. The Justice Department just told a federal court on Friday that it will be 2 years before they can account for all of the people that were separated as a result of that policy. 2 years before they'll even be able to say how many people were affected. We still don't know, and we may never know how many children were orphaned as a result of that policy. The stain that President Trump and Secretary Nielsen put on our country through implementing that policy will never leave us. And I shudder to think what the next version of that, what family separation 2.0 and whatever else the president comes up with will look like, because he doesn't have the patience or the willingness to sit down and actually understand immigration policy.
What do you do? I mean, with people coming to the country illegally with kids, what are you supposed to do? The only answer from somebody like this or anybody on the left is you just let them in. Just come on in. But that is the problem, right? Isn't that then a reason for people to use kids as their shield to illegally cross the border? Now, am I suggesting that there are not moms and dads who literally want to bring their kids here for a better life? Of course, that absolutely happens. I know that. But what do you do in that situation also? How do you know? I mean, you just take the guy's word for it? No, this is my kid. I really want to try to get him a better life. And there has to be a separation while you figure that out. And you know, if American citizens break the law and they're put in jail, they're separated from their kids. I mean, as are we pretending like kids go to prison with their parents in this country? Like, you know, mom and dad are sent to jail and, you know, Johnny's pulled from school so he can go spend the day in the cell with his dad? Like, in what universe does this happen? But now it's horrific and barbaric if you separate the kids from their parents when parents are going into a jail situation. It's inhumane. No, it's a jail. What do you do in America with Americans who go to jail? I've got a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. Well, bring them. They'll have a great time. We'll make space in the cell. We'll bring you books. You need a sound machine? What do you need for the kids? We want to make this comfortable for everybody. It's not how it works in any universe.
Rich Cioli, 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.